I am unashamed. What about you?
Welcome back to Unashamed. I'm back in studio. Had to come back from the Southern Lair. Dad and I had our first interview today for the book release. We're doing some media hits for that. And just talking about, I could be wrong, but I doubt it, why Jesus is what you need for this earth and eternity. And it did remind me, the book is out now, of course, so you can get that. And if you go to philrobertsonbook.com, you can order a signed copy, and you'll be in the running for a hunt with Dad and a lunch as well afterwards. So that's a pretty good deal. Dad doesn't do this very often, so because he loves this book so much, you get that opportunity. So philrobertson.com is where you go to get sign up, get your book, and also get you a chance to maybe come down here and spend a little time with us. So we were here early because of the interview. So we finished, and so we're waiting on Jace, and Jace was late. And I was about to text him because, you know, his Chick-fil-A was getting cold. You know, we're wondering what's happened to him. And I said, well, the one thing I hope is that he's encountered something that he can share with us.
And then you caught me texting, which I don't normally do. But I will. Let me just share this. The only reason I'm texting is I got a buddy of mine that I've known in the outdoor world for years and worked with him on various projects. He sent me a video as soon as I sat down here, and it was him being baptized in an ice chest.
One of the coolest videos I've seen lately.
And this ice chest is an ice chest for beasts and baptisms, I guess.
Well, it had to be bigger than this table because you said he wasn't that small of a guy.
No, he's probably my size. I've duck hunted with him before.
Was there ice in the ice chest?
You know,
no, it just looked like
water. I think he used to work in a for a company that sold ice chests, so I think that was the connection.
But this is not a cold plunge. This is in fact a baptism.
It's a baptism. Well, they're in a parking lot.
Now, did you hear people cheering?
There's a crowd out in the parking lot. Yeah. And they cheered. But I mean, he was a very nice comment. He was basically saying, you are an integral part of this journey, which I don't even remember sharing Jesus with him. I'm sure I did because I've known him for years. But hope you're well. But it was a video. It was fantastic.
That's cool.
So look, okay, this is what happened. Here's why I'm late. And I think this may help you because sometimes life happens. So I was studying for the podcast, which I'm really excited about today because when we get to Act 6, it's just like, boom, light bulb after light bulb moment last night when I was studying. But this morning I was kind of trying to review. Well, I looked up and it was like 9:15, which means I got to leave in 5 minutes. So I'm running around looking for some pants, you know. Missy's been in and out.
I was looking for pants. So you weren't wearing pants.
I'm in my underwear. I'm at my house. My wife's in the back room. I just woke up. I had a late night. And so I go because I had just washed some pants, but I go. And as I go, the dog started barking. I look up. Well, here's my sister-in-law. I see her through the window fixing to come in my house. I'm in my underwear. So I take off running and jump on the couch because there was 2 blankets there. Grab the blankets. And she walked in because in our houses, our family, they don't knock. That's why I took off running because I was like, she's coming in.
Yeah. And we have an open door policy in our neighborhood, so for family.
So she came in and starts talking, and because I'm like, Missy. And I thought, how do I get in this spot?
And now you're trapped.
Trapped. I can't get up. I can't tell them. I can't tell my wife. And I'm not the type of guy that walks around in my underwear. It just happened in the one
moment.
What
are you like, Hugh Hefner now?
Looking for a pair of pants.
You don't have to announce. I'm naked.
Yeah.
Does Honey Hole sell robes? So,
yeah.
They sell swim trunks, which, by the way, we need to stop and think the Honey Hole. I mean,
apparently, Zach's representing today, too.
I saw this. Look, yesterday, I get a box. I thought it's Missy. because they already sent me some stuff because I mentioned them. Phil, you're the one that started this phenomenon because you noticed a shirt I had on that had some holes in it.
I was burying myself.
Yeah. Yeah. While you, and you said, oh, that shirt's busy or whatever you said. And so there's a little Ma and Paul fishing store that used to be a 7-Eleven.
Where we frequented many times at 3 a.m. on our way to hunt.
Owned and operated by a great group of guys. They love the Lord. And so, Zach, I think you had the idea or whatever. You posted their information. Because, I mean, look, how do you make a living, you know, selling fishing baits and clothes on the side of the road? You know, the place that used to be the same.
And a small, because you're competing against bigger companies that,
you know. I don't think we didn't post it. We just got in a conversation about it. Because of what you were wearing, and you had actually cut the logo out, so that became the big.
Yeah, I had to because I love the shirt. They had the best fishing shirts, and they have hoodies on them.
Yeah, they're very comfortable.
And so I had bought one. Well, we brought it up, and evidently Unashamed Nation really must have bought a bunch of their products because I got a box with more of those shirts. Well, yesterday I got another box, and it was bigger. And he's like. We just want to thank you for mentioning
bigger
us.
Sizes or bigger box?
Bigger box.
Oh, I thought maybe they were sending something to me.
No, and look.
That box was mine.
Wait a minute. If it's professional boys, that may be me.
So there was a note in there. It was Mitchie comes in there, and she's like, what are you opening my box for? And I was like, no, this box is to me. You know, she thought it was hers. Because
she normally gets 95% exactly. of the boxes. I guess.
And so she's like, who's that from? And I was like, it's from the Honey Hole. And she's like, why don't they just come over? Why are they shipping it? It's a mile down the road. So she was being a little weird.
A mile. It's about 500 yards to their house from your house.
She said, have they talked to you about this? I said, nobody has said a word. I said, oh, but look, there's a letter. And it said, thanks, Jace, for mentioning us. We've sold a lot of stuff because of that. And I was thinking, well, it's good stuff.
It is.
And it had Drew. And she said, who's Drew? And I said, I don't know. She said, well, evidently it's your new best friend because they had some golf shirts. I mean, there was a pair of swimming trunks. There was this hat. So it's funny. I sit down, I look, and they sent Zach. Zach's got a hat on too. So I guess we're now models for the Honey Hole.
But here's the problem we got. We really should charge ad inventory for this. And so we got a conundrum.
Zach, but also, they sent it. They're a Ma and Pa store.
It just creates issues. I'm not saying that we need to sell the ad. It just creates issues. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, go ahead, Zach.
I did get the box. I mean, they have good stuff. And Drew, by the way, is Drew Tyners, if you didn't know who that was.
That's the son-in-law in the business, right?
Yeah, that's the son-in-law. Okay.
He's married to Jim.
That's the Drew.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So here's what I find funny, that you two in conversation have caused a bigger stir than the son who is on a sister podcast. Apparently he's not moving any merchandise when he's sporting the Honey Hole. We won't mention any names, but it looks like John David must not be pushing anything on that.
Yeah, we're closing deals over here.
We're closing deals. Yeah. I mean, we're getting boxes. So
getting boxes. So sorry I'm late. And if you're just joining us, look, We have some outdoor clothing on. There was a guy baptized in an ice chest, and I got caught in my skimpies this morning. And I just
finally quit talking, and you never told us how he got out of that.
I said,
she's a talker.
I need to go to podcast. And I said, and then Missy came in. I said, are y'all going shopping? They were going to an estate sale shop. Yeah. I said, well, y'all need to go so I can get out of here. Missy's like, well, fine. Because she didn't know I was trying to rush him out. It was like 9:30 now. I'm just still up under the blanket. Please leave. I thought it was kind of funny. Embarrassing.
I must admit, I've never been caught with my rear end showing.
Well, Phil, my rear end wasn't showing. I had underwear on. And I only had the underwear. I was in the underwear one minute. I took off the pajamas somewhere looking for a pair of pants. I wasn't going to show up in my pajamas.
Usually the sequence of events is a person gets up and he
puts their clothes on. That's what I thought, but I didn't say anything.
It's a long story.
Yeah.
I played cards last night. I came
just
in
a
late.
Of that city life. That city life. I don't know.
I didn't get much sleep, and I was all my circuits weren't functioning when I woke up.
You were still a little haywire.
I was just a little dazed, but I feel good now.
Yeah.
Coffee, the Holy Spirit, not necessarily in that order.
Arguing
Holy
with Barrett.
Spirit, coffee. Yeah, I had a good discussion with my buddy on the way down here about what we're going to talk about, which I'm dying to get into.
Zach, you got anything to offer before we get into our, you got anything?
Yeah.
Anything you can reveal to us? All Zach's stuff is so secretive. He's like, it's like talking to somebody from the CIA. I'm never sure what, what can we reveal, Zach? What can you tell us?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm not doing.
He's always got some plans in motion.
I do got plans in motion. I know you do. I'm not walking around the house naked. That's not happening.
It's your house. You couldn't be, because I'll tell you one thing. Our houses are pretty busy, but the Dasher household is a draw. I don't know if it's since your kids are, since Layla's not there, if it's as busy as it used to be, but every time I go in there, there's a pile of people in there.
No, I did figure something out in the last 2 months about busyness and having a home that's full of people. We're in the middle of a remodel. We're redoing the kitchen. And so we don't have a kitchen right now.
Yeah, I've been seeing pictures.
There's no cooking, no food. And it is interesting that when the food dries up, the visitors quit coming.
That's right.
So I thought these people loved us. They didn't love us. They loved the free food. That's what it was about. So we're actually kind of quiet right now. It's not nearly as busy as it is because we're not offering any food service right now.
It was funny because I got a note from Alex, who works for us here with the podcast and everything we do. A couple of weeks ago, I guess, and hopefully she won't mind me sharing this story, but she had, you know, like any mom, she's got three young kids. And so her house has become the magnet for the neighborhood. And of course, we grew up that way. Our house was always the magnet. But Zach, you nailed it. One is because we always had food around, usually something was cooked or caught or whatever. And also there was joy there. And I think that's the two things people look for in the neighborhood is joy and food. And, you know, if it's a pretty happy-go-lucky place and the kids seem to like being there. And so that's been the draw. Well, you know, like any mom, you're trying to, you know, I'm feeding all these kids. And, you know, every once in a while you get frustrated because your house is full of people. But she told me the other night, she sent her, Lisa and I a text and said, you know, I think I'm just going to lean into this because I realize that we have something to offer these kids. Because she had spent time talking to one of the little kids that was there. And she was being bullied at school and was having some issues. And she had a chance to really just kind of, you know, give her some good advice. And so she said, you know, I've just decided I need to, instead of fussing about it and worrying about it, I just need to lean into it. If my house is the place God sends kids, then I'm going to do the best to help them out, make sure it's a good place for them. So I was proud of her because I just thought, you know, that's, I get it, because it's not easy when you're having to, you know, feed the neighborhood or feed all the kids. But if your house is the kind of place that people like to come, why not make the most of it? Do some kingdom work.
Good.
Yeah, which is really good. All right.
Some people have special gifts in there.
They do. They do. No doubt about it. Let's take our first break. So, Jace, we haven't talked about it on the podcast in a while, but you know, how is underwear doing these days?
Okay. I've had an epiphany about underwear commercials because I realize that it's uncomfortable. And I thought, why is that? And I thought, I think underwear commercials are perfect for podcasts because you don't want to see an underwear commercial.
Yeah,
you only want to hear about it. You see, it's the opposite. Remember the movie Outlaw Josie Wales? And he said, I don't want to hear Wales, did I want to see it. Well, this is the opposite when it comes to underwear commercials. Because, look, you do spend a lot of time in a pair of underwear.
That's right.
So it needs to be discussed.
You got
to
discuss it. And you got to have good underwear, which Tommy John's, which has been our only underwear provider on the Unashamed podcast, much to my delight because I have been a Tommy John fan for many, many years. So here's something new to check out as well. Tommy John's stylish and soft second skin underwear has dozens of comfort innovations, like a supportive contour pouch and a breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. Jace, you're sure to love that. There's no wedgies, no rides. I mean, this thing is perfect. It's lint-free, it's fuzz-free, And they also have what they call their no wedgies guarantee. They also have a best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So Jay, you can't beat that. Mm. I mean, there's no downside in trying it. I've been wearing them for years. My favorite underwear. You can too. So for silky soft comfort with sophisticated style, check out Tommy John's luxurious second skin limited edition colors now at TommyJohn.com/Phil. They're going fast, so hurry to TommyJohn.com/Phil.
I would say everybody should, from time to time, just practice being good. Titus, yeah. Book of Titus, 8 times. Devote themselves to doing what is good. Devote themselves to doing what is good.
A classic never dies.
That's right.
Fails Titus.
Do whatever. When you do, finally figure out, do whatever is good.
We don't have enough of that, do we?
Well, we're actually going to talk about that today. Because when
you slander no one.
I've noticed something about doing good is that most people who do really good things are full of faith and full of the Spirit.
That is correct.
Yeah. And I mean the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So I have another t-shirt idea.
Oh.
Because it's acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles and the beginning of the church.
Right.
How about that definition for acts?
It's pretty good. I like putting the Holy Spirit in there because he's really the star of the book.
Somehow I'd have to add, by declaring Jesus as Lord through his death, burial, and resurrection.
You've gone beyond a t-shirt. Now you're writing a book.
So. No, the t-shirt idea. Are y'all ready for this? I thought this would be fun. This came to me. You ready? E-I. What do you think of when you think of E-I?
E-I.
That's the shirt.
I would say everybody's in.
Everybody's in. Zach, you have anything?
Everybody's in.
Well, I mean, he mentioned it with Acts, so that's why I thought that. But
I'm drawing a blank. I mean, I've got so many I could say that I. It's
well,
like,
let me give you some options.
Way to put yourself
give me some
out there,
Zach. You give me some context.
I'll give you some. If you look it
way
up,
way to risk it, Zach.
If you look it up, and do your search on the internet,
what is
obviously the first thing you think of is Old MacDonald. Old MacDonald. You think of that. That's not it.
Yeah.
You think the world uses that for emotional intelligence, whatever that means. But what I wanted to use it,
which is really an oxymoron.
There's a craze in our society. I don't know if y'all are familiar with this, but from stock markets to, you know, big corporations to things that are trending on the internet, it all involves artificial intelligence. It's called AI.
Mm-hmm.
Have y'all heard about it?
Heard about it.
About AI?
Yeah. It's like the biggest thing. Now AI has become a symbol. It's people who want to make money. AI.
Yeah.
The company.
It's both a threat and a, you know, frontier. That's
and just to show you how big a surge this is, there's a company called NVIDIA, and they make little computer chips. And they have the best chips. And you say, how do you know that? Because their company is just skyrocketed. And so for this AI craze, just their last 3 quarters of sales, it's a big company. They did, I think it was $7 billion. And then the next quarter, so just a few months later, I guess that'd be
three months later,
they did $15 billion.
Ooh, double.
In the last quarter, they did
billion.
$22 billion.
Ooh,
with
a
B.
It's these AI. So I was reading in Acts 6 here, talking about wisdom from the Spirit, and we're going to get into an altercation. and they could not match Stephen because of the wisdom he was getting from the Holy Spirit. And it hit me. Eternal intelligence via the Holy Spirit of God. That is what we need to be pushing.
And if you don't, like me over in the corner, and I don't have a computer.
Yeah.
Nor a cell phone. Let's look.
So this is the first you're hearing about artificial intelligence. It's first. Phil, look, there's fixing to be robots walking around.
Oh, yeah.
Doing things.
Yep.
But we'll guess what? We will come into the lair, and there will be a robot in here cleaning it for us, getting us ready to do our podcast. It's going to happen.
So.
Love and, what is good.
Now, Phil.
Back to Titus. And guess teach what is good.
And here's the end of that story, Phil.
Self-control. Good.
You could also wear the EI shirt in Mexico and all Spanish-speaking countries, because EI in Spanish actually means hey.
That's deep thinking there, Jace.
Phil made that. I mean, Phil's brother made that famous. Hey, I have a
I'm
Spanish.
I'm going to have to ask his David about that today.
No, it is. I looked it up.
I'm going to say EI and see what he says back to
I have him. A Spanish speaking daughter.
Yeah.
EI is hey. So wow. Look, that's the, because the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people. There's eternal intelligence for all people, nations speaking all different languages. So I thought it'd really do well in Spanish-speaking countries, because you're like, hey.
Hey.
Eternal.
No. Hey. No. Hey. That's, I like it. I like it.
So look, it's so both, in Spanish.
It's both practical and thought-provoking.
Yeah, you could have hey, because it's hey, then you put eternal intelligence in Spanish.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I haven't practiced that part.
So I thought you were going to say those two words. I was waiting on the edge of my seat.
No, I just thought we'd have a segment from time to time with T-shirt ideas.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be coming up. The last one I had was the God Social Media 101.
Yeah.
So.
I like it. Yeah.
We need to partner with Honey Hole. They can be our distribution yeah. partner on our T-shirts.
Maddie's put something up over there. What is that?
Okay. Intelligentsia Eterna. So you have...
Intelligentsia Eterna.
Hey, Intelligentsia Eterna.
So theirs is IE in reverse.
But just say that with more tongue roll and faster.
And that's because in Spanish, they put their adjectives after their nouns, which is different.
Well, I'm setting up the theme for the day, which is another mighty display of the Holy Spirit working.
So you want to jump to Acts 6? Yeah.
Well, we can jump to 5. No, finish 5. Let's finish our thoughts on 5.
Okay.
Because I did have one.
I mean,
one
you were
point.
Excited. We could go back.
No, I am excited. I wanted to get that in because I thought that was a good idea. What I'm saying is AI does not excite me because it's artificial. There's no spirit.
Would you put it in the form of a question, though? Like, are you excited about AI or EI? I mean, something would make people make the comparison, because if they just saw EI, they would might think, well, I guess they still ask, though. Make the comparison.
I'm just saying, that's what we do as societies. We take little trendy ideas and we get all excited about it. And people are just absolutely bonkers over the idea of artificial intelligence.
But you know what?
I'm like, why does eternal intelligence not appeal to you more? That is my point. Now, how we want to put that on a shirt, I don't care. But I was just making a subtle point that what we have the Holy Spirit of God. It was poured out. We're reading about all
of it. But I think one of the things that made AI so trendy, which is kind of ironic, was a bunch of billionaires, like, you know, people that, entrepreneurs and people out there, Elon Musk was one of them, there was a bunch of them, they came out and said, we're worried about AI because it's going to weed out humanity. So that got everybody.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where's the hope in that?
Right. It is
not. 100 years from now, we're all gone, and the artificial intelligence beings that we created, they're all here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great for them. And they don't even know what great is because they're artificial.
Well,
let's talk about something a little more exciting.
Basically, they came out with the plot for every Terminator movie that's ever been made that the machines are taking over.
Exactly.
But you're right. It is very hopeless because in that scenario, humanity is subservient of the machine. But we're always saying, no, we have something greater, which I like where you're going with that. Let's take another break. So another one of those topics is not always easy for people to talk about. It's a beautiful thing about podcasts. You can talk about a lot of different things is pornography. It's damage to all people, not just, we think of it as men, but it's really men, women, it's families, it's everybody. It has a damaging effect on families. And so one of our longtime sponsors, Covenant Eyes, has something they're calling Victory by Covenant Eyes, which I love because the idea is we want to have victory over everything. And Jase, you had sons, you know, you've had people you've worked with and, you know, at the church through the years. This is a scourge. I mean, this is something Satan uses to attack.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, one of your last sermons you talked about was David.
Mm-hmm.
And he got some good advice in that, you know, he was looking out over the window at a woman bathing. And the advice was that somebody's daughter and somebody's wife.
Somebody doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, the big picture is what you got to get in your mind.
And actually, that helped me. Years ago, I thought, you know, if I'm looking at these people online, that's someone's wife, that's someone's daughter, that's someone's sister. Potentially, that's my sister in Christ. Do I want to be having these thoughts? Covenant Eyes has been the number one trusted accountability software for over 23 years for Christians seeking to live a porn-free life. I've been aware of these guys for a long time. There's a ton of scripture that tells us that we need accountability, and that's how we're going to get through it. James 5:16 says, we confess our sins, we hold each other accountable, but we also find healing. That's what we want to do. We want to be iron sharpening iron. You mentioned King David. You know, I said in my sermon, if only someone had quoted him Job 31:1, I have made a covenant not to look lustfully at a girl with my eyes. And so that's the idea they're trying to do. CovenantEyes.com/Phil is where you're going to download Victory on all your devices. Once installed, Victory runs silently in the background on your devices and uses cutting-edge AI technology to watch the screen for behavior that doesn't match your goals. Living a porn-free life will bring you a new freedom to live honestly. Remember, accountability is not others calling you out on your sin, but others calling you up to the person you are in Christ. Anyone can get started on their path to recovery for free by visiting CovenantEyes.com/Phil. Use the promo code Phil for 30 days free or by clicking on the link in the show notes today. That's CovenantEyes.com/Phil.
One of the greatest threats of AI, what folks are warning about, I mean, there's a lot of threats, but one of the greatest threats is they're saying with the advance, so you can essentially create content so rapidly. I mean, now you can put the commands in of a animation film that you want to create, and you type a half a page of notes, and it spits out within seconds or minutes.
A script?
No, an animated film.
Oh, a film.
I mean, yeah, it's incredible. So when you start thinking about as this evolves, the internet's going to be completely flooded with more information than we could ever possibly consume. And so you're going to have false information, fake news stories, deep fake. I mean, it's all, and you're going to be flooded with all of this information, and the crisis is going to be a crisis of truth. How do we know what's real, and how do we know what's true?
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, I actually think that the gospel, I mean, has a whole lot to say about this, and it will be an incredible time to see how the kingdom responds. Primarily because, as Jase mentioned about the Acts, is a book about the acts of the Spirit. If you read Jesus's dissertation or his explanation or his promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit in John 14 through John 17, There's one word that is very deeply connected with the coming of the Spirit. And you know what that word is?
Truth.
Truth. Yep. In Hebrew. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, in a age where where the world may be powerless to determine truth, those who are led by the Holy Spirit are not going to be, we're not going to be phased. We're still going to know what's true because we have God's Spirit in us. And so there's a whole lot to say about that, obviously, and to unpack that, but I actually think it's going to be a unique opportunity for kingdom people as the world is searching for truth in a place and they can't find it because it's just, how do you know? Well, we actually will have a real tangible answer for that. And I think that's going to be a powerful moment.
Because it still boils back down to people, because the people feeding into the AI and the programmers of these apps are still people. Google just rolled out a program within the last 2 weeks, and they were so proud of it. And so I don't know what it was for, but people began to ask it, show me a picture of this, historical settings. And all of them were false. They were showing pictures of people that could not have done what they were supposed to be doing in historical context. And so it caused quite the furor over this program, and they've supposedly have gone back to the drawing board, but it just shows me that there's a lot of flaws in their system that supposedly are supposed to be better. But
man-made constructs.
Exactly. So you're not going to be able to beat what we're talking about. So you want me to set this up, Jason, where we are in Acts 5?
Well, I had one point that I think we skipped that I wanted to make. And it's in Acts 5. If you start reading in verse 27, were you going to start later than that?
Well, actually, the last podcast we finished with Ananias and Sapphira. So I was going to set up second go around.
You set it up. We get to 27
okay.
through 31,
yeah.
I wanted to say something.
Okay. So we talked about there beginning to be some issues and problems, because there always will be because there's people. When we get to Acts chapter 5, because up to now, everything since the starting of this new way in the church, and it's all been excitement and good stuff. There was one little bit where John and Peter were persecuted because, you know, they were being called out because they healed this guy. But, I mean, the church is rocking and rolling. And all of a sudden, we have this story that we talked about last time with Ananias and Sapphira, where you have this lying to the Holy Spirit, speaking of truth. And they were dealt with very severely by the Almighty. And so it seemed like you're setting this tone. So the question is, what would it do to the church? Well, it didn't do anything except explode even more. Because in Acts chapter 5, in 12 through 16, the apostles, I mean, they just keep going, and this thing keeps growing, and they're hanging out in the temple, which is kind of interesting, and we've talked about why we think that's interesting, that that's the place that they're doing all this stuff in public, and then we get now sort of a second round of persecution, because in verse 17, it says, the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. So now we're beyond just, we don't like these guys. Now we're like, they're pulling out too many of our people. So now they arrest the apostles and put them in jail, which they've done this once with Peter and John. Now they took them all, put them in jail. And here's what happens. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And I love that, because that's one verse that says that. And we don't even know what that means, because later on, when they go back to check on them, all the gates and doors are locked. And all the people that were guarding are still in their places outside, and they've seen nothing. So whatever the angel of the Lord did here, he takes them out, and he tells them, go stand in the temple courts, tell the people the full message of this new life. Which, by the way, Zach, that's another thing about the kingdom and this idea now that this is a new way of living. Is the way that
that's a great point. I mean, sometimes I ask myself this question, and we had a men's breakfast this morning where we were talking about this too at our church. That because we're going through the Book of Mark, and so are we reading the kingdom into these texts? And we're not. I mean, it's everywhere you look. Like what you just read there, Colossians 1, even Paul's writings. You know, it's like he's talking about we're being brought in out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You know, we're being brought. This kingdom language is everywhere, and I think it's important coming out of what I would say. We grew up in was some version of like a fundamentalist Christianity that was solely focused on getting saved and which is great. I mean, but man, we are moving into something, and I love that phraseology that you just read there, a new way of life. I mean, that's what it is. It's a new way of living, and it happens to be that new way happens to be the way, the truth, and the life that nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's what the way is. It's a way.
And he links it back to what he called a full message, which I thought was interesting. So they're supernaturally removed from jail and go back into the temple courts, and then all of a sudden they find them there. And now they're afraid to just arrest them again, so they ask them politely if they'll come before the Sanhedrin. So, Jace, that sets you up to verse 27.
Well, and you're seeing phrases like 21 where it says, when the high priest and his associates arrive. Well, the high priest hasn't gotten the memo that there's a new high priest.
He's out of a job.
which is why we're having some chaos and confusion here. And I just noticed that in 27, let's see. Well, I'll continue reading your story. In 25, when someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. Because you remember at the beginning of this story, there was a captain, or maybe that was the other story. The captain of the temple guard, that was in chapter 4, and the priests and the Sadducees, they were all lurking around.
Yeah, we got a revolving door of officials here that keep coming to round these guys up.
And they didn't use force because they feared that the people would stone them. And having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest, who hadn't got the memo. I added that. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you, now notice this word, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you know what was doing the filling? You remember in Acts 4, 8, when it says, Peter filled by the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, the Spirit was poured out.
Yep.
In Acts 6, when you get to verse 3, they were choosing people who were full of the Spirit and wisdom.
Yeah,
that's good.
E-I. So when you see that filled and poured, and you tie in like 1 Corinthians 12, we've all been given the Spirit to drink. You're under the influence. You remember Ephesians 5 where it says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. Sing songs, hymns, spiritual songs. So they're under the influence.
Hang on, let's take a break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the others replied.
Let's think about that, though, before you move on from that statement. You're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. In other words, they're taking it personal, which is good. They should. But that's their worry. You're making us look bad. Somehow you're saying we had something to do with killing this Jesus. When they actually did it.
Yeah, but they did do it. It's like, who killed him? Well, I mean.
The Romans technically, but it gets back into a garden scene where everybody's passing the blame on who, you know, we didn't kill this guy.
Yeah.
Because at the bottom line, whether you believe Jesus is the Son of God from their perspective, he was an innocent man.
Yeah.
We know that. And whether they believe that or not, they figured he was probably guilty of something.
Yeah.
But he actually was.
But, Jace, that's just a lie, because you remember when Pilate was washing his hands and says, I'm not going to be guilty of this man's blood. The people yelled out, and I'm assuming this was some of the group there, his blood is on us.
Excellent point, because, you know, Pilate actually said four times in his speeches that he was innocent.
Yeah.
Four times.
It's not me. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But he said he was innocent.
Yeah.
You know, not only Pilate, but Jesus.
Right.
Four different times. Crazy. Then it says, Peter and the other apostles replied in verse 29, we must obey God rather than man, which has been a constant theme. Are you looking for the praise of man or for God? You remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were looking for applause. That's from the church.
Yep.
From men and women instead of God. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand, which, remember, is a key theme of Acts, because when Jesus was exalted and the Holy Spirit came out and the declaration of preaching in Jesus' name, you're seeing actually heaven and earth, a new life as it's described, even though that when it said the full message of this new life, I looked up the Greek, new's not in there. I don't know why the translators put it in there, but it still is a new life that's being led, and it's full of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So then 31, which is where I want to get to, God has exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And I love this. We are witnesses of this things. There it is again. Not witness like the modern church uses it today, which I'm not so sure that's a good thing, because they were saying, we literally witnessed this.
We saw the whole thing unfold.
So our testimony is basically based on the testimony of eyewitnesses.
Correct.
But watch what else he says. And so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a witness of this. The eternal intelligence of God, whom God has given to those who obey him. That's why they're filling up people who are listening in Jerusalem. So I looked at that word prince, because I thought, I don't ever remember catching that before.
Yeah.
It's used four times. And it's evidently a hard word to translate, because here it's used prince. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 15, it's used, but here it's used as, 3:15.
Author of life.
Author of life. Now, what's crazy is the other two places are Hebrews 2:10. Now, there, depending on your translation, and I'm interested to see what Zach says, does yours use prince and author? So you got Acts 5:31 in the NIV, it says prince. In Acts 3:15, it says author.
Yeah, mine says Lord and Savior. God exalted him at the right hand.
Yours says Savior.
Lord is the word used for prince.
All right, what about 2:10?
Hebrews.
Now, 2:10. Some translations have it captain. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make...
Acts 2:10 or 3:10?
Hebrews 2:10.
Hebrews 2:10.
Mine says, NIV says, should author. Make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. But some translations put captain there.
Hmm.
What does yours say?
Mine says, right here, it says...
Hebrews 2:10.
Yeah, for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation.
Founder. Okay. Ours says author, founder. And the last one is Hebrews 12:2. Some translations, ours did author again. So we got NIV has three authors and a prince. Zach founder, has founder
and perfecter.
Lord, and I forgot what your other one was, but Hebrews 12:2. Some translations have pioneer.
Yep, I've seen that before.
So what struck me though is when you put all these together, founder, the first, author, prince, captain. And the translators are having trouble with that word because that word is having trouble with describing Jesus.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, you think about that.
He's like I thought of another trailblazer. He's basically broken down every wall that humans viewed as a wall.
Which is the interesting thing about their response, because the accusation was you are saying that we're guilty of killing this man. And so not only did they reaffirm that, yeah, you did kill him, they triple down on it, because then they redefine it. We're not actually talking about just a man. And so they're giving a description of the pioneer, the trailblazer, he's the prince, the founder, the author. They're expanding the view of Jesus, who he was, as they're basically, but reaffirming, yeah, you did kill him. But the other thing that strikes me as odd about their response, it's not actually the point of what they're saying is not just that you killed him. The bigger point is who he was, and then what God the Father did with him after you killed him. That's the point. I mean, it's an offer of repentance or forgiveness for those who would repent. So, I mean, there is an accusation here, but they're receiving it as condemnation when they really didn't have, they could have received it as an act of grace and they didn't. They received it as a condemnation, but it's because of what you said earlier. I don't know if they didn't get the memo that there's a new high priest or rather, they weren't going to accept the reality that there was a new high priest because it threatened their power structure.
Well, and one of the things you think the reason they probably used the word prince here in this context was because he mentions exalted to the right hand, meaning the king idea.
That's right. Right. Son of a, if you look up what prince means, after you get past this rock and roll singer back in the 80s, who was not a prince.
No.
Because that's a son of a monarch. And I believe Jesus declared himself King of Kings, which is true.
Yes, sir.
That's why they translated that. Because he is that. And when you think of pioneer, I mean, Phil, you're affectionately known. That's why Mom decided to marry you, because she was like, I just wanted to...
Pioneer man.
I wanted a pioneer man. Well, what is that? Yeah. That's a guy that just doesn't follow the trend.
He blazes his own trail.
Yeah, she,
he goes into the wilderness and creates his own society.
But think about what Jesus does for us. That's why this was exciting to me. I'm like, a lot of people are like, boy, they're having trouble translating that. Yeah, me too. Which is why it's so spectacular.
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, you say captain, what? Because he led us into the spiritual battle in salvation. That's what he did. And he did that by destroying and disabling all powers that stood against us and that are opposed to us. You remember Philippians?
Yeah.
That's why they use that captain there. It's like, I mean, that was exciting to me. But I think the point is, they keep saying, because they're getting all this persecution from Sadducees, the Roman state, the Pharisees, the priests, they're saying things have changed. And it's a famous statement in churches all around who really believe Jesus is the Son of God. When that fact is real, everything changes. Everything.
Right.
From battle to eternal life, you know, you just name your purpose, power. What the kingdom looks like, you know, this kind of kingdom.
We just wrote a book on it.
Yeah.
Well, y'all should have put Acts 5:31 in there. The prince.
It may be.
The point was, we could be wrong, but after reading the book of Acts And your dissertation.
You highly doubt it.
Because, Jace,
I doubt it a lot.
That is right, because I just reread the book this weekend. The book is a photo album of 9 pictures of Jesus. It's, and you just go down the table of contents. He's a creator. That's he's right. A savior. He's a servant. He's a light. He's that's bread. Right. And so all that's just what you're talking about. I mean, it's hard to describe how many facets there are to Jesus, because there's a lot of them. That's what the book is.
You rule out by his actions. You rule it all out.
Yep.
You get back to where you started.
Exactly.
I heard somebody say one time that everybody loves Jesus until you tell them who he is. And I think this is what's happening right here. You know, when Jesus is just an idea of a good teacher or a great example of this accepting figure who loved the poor and the oppressed. And I mean, everybody likes that guy. But when you start talking about Jesus as a person, as a member of the triune God, as the Son of God, as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the creator of all, I mean, when you start putting definitions around who is this King of Glory, it really does elicit either, just submission and awe and reverence and peace, or it elicits hostility, condemnation. I mean, and you can see that happening here in the book of Acts, because in Acts 2, when Peter preached this same message that he's basically saying right here, that's being preached right here, the people repented. They did repent. And 3,000 people were added to the church. But as you're going to see in a minute here, that's not how the people in the Sanhedrin responded. Same exact message. But the response is very different, which is that's interesting.
Well, right, because I want to finish this out. So after they, you know, he declares that y'all killed him. He's a prince. He's savior. We witnessed it. The Holy Spirit witnessed it. Well, look at how they responded in 33. They were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named...
They want to be guilty of Jesus' blood, but they're ready to kill these boys.
Yeah.
Exactly. Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. So he wants to talk. And he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do." He brings up this Thodius, who claimed to be somebody in verse 36. And about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You're only fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in, had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. There it is again. And let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin. Now, this is crazy. Rejoicing. I mean, because a flogging was not something to rejoice about. If you look into the, just, you know, look that up.
That's a 40 minus one. It's 39 rough
skin
stripes.
Being rough. Yeah. You know, and so that's what I'm saying. Their confidence in the Spirit is making them rejoice despite the suffering that they just endured. And notice why they're rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name, for the name.
Capitalized.
Acts 4:12. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped preaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. And look, that Gamaliel had a great statement, but honestly, if you look at what he did, he kind of washed his hands of it, and he didn't stop him from being flogged, even though his wisdom, I think, was right. I'm not sure his motivation was
Well, what he was saying in the practical moment, look, if we keep killing these people because of God, what are we going to do? But you're right. I think he was just pushing it down the road. I think the flogging had to do with, hey, we're still in charge. We can still give you 39 lashes.
Yeah, which burns my bacon is what I'm saying.
Oh, it makes me very
angry. He should have stopped that.
That's exactly
right. Whip them and let them go. We're in charge.
But it is a powerful argument that he's making.
And it is true. I agree with his argument.
It's true, because if you were to talk to people today who would maybe accept a lot of the Jewish traditions and teachings, but would reject that Christ was the Messiah, their argument would be that, well, there was a lot of guys that came along and said that they were the Messiah. And, you know, so of course, Jesus was just one of many in that line of people who claimed to be the Messiah. But to his point here, I mean, yeah. And if they're just another person, guess what's going to happen? It'll die out. It's over. No big deal. It'll die. Just like everyone at work. The only one we're still talking about, by the way, the only one that claimed to be the Messiah that we're still talking about is Jesus.
Yeah.
So I think his word here was actually true, and it is a great evidence. And Phil does it all the time when he talks about we're counting time by him. It's 2000. What year is it in, you know, different countries? It's 2024. Since what? Since it happened. So, I mean, whatever happened here with this one here that claimed to be the Messiah, that whatever happened was powerful enough that we are still talking about it 2,000 years later, and not just talking about it. It really is the dominant conversation of the entire world. When you boil it all down, this is the dominant conversation. Is Jesus God or not? And that's what we're kind of all discussing.
Cheers to end us with. That's exactly right. And anybody else that you bring up from these other lists, in the words of Shaq, I would say, who? Because we don't know who they are. We'll see you next time on Unashamed.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.